does. It doesn't matter what kind of political shenanigans or what kind of... One thing they cannot stop is when God says it's time to grow, it's going to grow. And those fields are bringing forth crops that are unbelievable. And God says when it's not time to grow, it's not going to grow either. And so that law, those laws are in motion and can't be changed. God's faithful. And so as fathers this morning, we need to begin, we need to be thinking about faithfulness. We're being called to faithfulness as dads in the homes. We're faithful to our wives, faithful to our God, our willingness to live out the call of God upon our lives. Faithfulness in these areas and many more will be a great influence to our children. And our children begin to see a little bit of God and who he is and his faithfulness, his commitment, his unchangingness through dad. I don't know about you men. How faithful are we? I don't think our children know how hard it is, how hard this thing of faithfulness can be for us dads. Do be prepared, but be prepared, dads, to face a clash of priorities as a father, a clash of priorities. The bills need paid, but the children also need me at home this evening. And so there is the tug of war. And so how am I to be faithful with the responsibilities that I have? And these responsibilities are responsibility, and the clock says, go, go, go. We're not meeting our goals. But Johnny, the son, the daughter, says, stop, look, listen. Life is often a push and a pull. It's a tug of war of responsibility, of dreams, of realities and deadlines. I don't know about your life, but mine has a lot of those kind of feelings. And so as fathers, I believe we need to accept this reality and prepare ourselves to work through these challenges, to be faithful in the responsibilities that we have. It's true. We are called to provide. We are called to make a way for our family and to find the necessary resources for what our family needs. It's a responsibility that's laid upon us. And the Bible also says that if we don't take those responsibilities upon us, we're worse than an infidel. We've become careless. And yet at the same time, as to be faithful in our responsibilities as a father, we're called to be a father to our children, to nurture them along, to spend time with them. And so we find ourselves in this act, and we juggle those responsibilities, and we're torn by them sometimes, but it's part of what we're called to do. That's part of the work of a father. And so we're going to need help with this. And there is a wife, a mother at play, that plays such a huge part in helping us navigate through these priorities. Absolutely. Sometimes your wife sort of grabs you by the arm and says, now, hey, you need to, you're missing, you're forgetting. Did you remember? Oh, yeah, you're right. And so we need those things. Holding us accountable. You said you would do so and so. And brothers, we no doubt need to hold each other accountable from time to time. We need it. I have been held accountable. And I'm willing to be held accountable further. I've been asked some questions that have helped me to orient my life and organize it. Our children probably won't always understand what all tensions exist in this struggle of priorities for us. What is most important is for them to see that they have a real place in this give and take, that they matter in this give and take. Dad does care about us. It matters to him if he cannot be here. It really does make him sad when he has to be gone again. And so those things make a difference, I believe. The battle's going to go on. We're going to fall short on some of our responsibilities somewhere on either side of the spectrum. You're right. The work responsibilities, sometimes we're going to miss the deadline. On our children's responsibilities and responsibilities of father, sometimes we're going to come up short. But it matters for our children to know that they have an important place in this give and take. And I think that's how, as fathers, we can serve faithfully. It's not perfectly. It does not filling all of the needs, but it's at least doing our best by the grace of God to do so. The second point that I have this morning, and I'll admit to you, as I was preparing, my mind was going different ways for this message. And finally, I had a bunch of different thoughts down on paper and jotted around. Finally, I decided I'm going to do an acrostic to organize this. And I decided that basically the first words that come to mind as I go down through this were the ones that I was going to go with. So the next one was awake. Maybe I was tired, but that was the next word that I have for this acrostic, awake. And as I thought about our Heavenly Father, my mind went through different verses, and I settled on 1 Peter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. I like that verse because it helps me to understand that our Heavenly Father has a keen and personal interest in his children, in his sons and his daughters, and that's who our God is. And we're called upon. He has his eyes turned towards his children. And of course, we also understand as Bible students that not only did God say what he did here, the eyes of the Lord are turned and the ears are open, but he went further than words. And he paid the price of salvation for our sins and the salvation of our souls. And that is not only the words, but the testament of those words, and that they are true. Those words are real. And so I ask us this morning, fathers, are we awake to our children? Do we have our eyes and ears turned toward them, or are we distracted? Do we have them turned towards our children, or are we distracted? And you know we need to look at this, don't you? Anybody here know anything about being distracted this week? And, you know, I mean, there had to be at least one time where son or daughter just didn't get through because dad's mind was full. Now, it's true, not many of us are hiding our face, you know. We're not hiding our face behind the newspaper. We come in and we just pull the newspaper up like this and we're hid. We're back behind our screen. We're sort of hiding. We need some space right now. I'm reading the news. This is important, too. Not many of us are doing that anymore. But, you know, we're peering at that little cell phone. There it is. Wow, that's interesting. Hey, did you see? Oh. And there we are. And so it's the news, and so it's the weather, and so it's the latest message on the family group or whatever it might be. Or it's the other important messages that are there. Oh, we wanted to just make a quick phone call, but here there was three emails, and one of them just, whew, wow, really, that's it, you know. And so there we are, and there we are. It goes on and on and on, and our children suffer. Are we awake to what they're saying? Are we awake to what they're doing? Are we awake to an opportunity to teach, to train, to influence? Oh. Excuse me. Yes, last night as I was preparing, last evening, I was in my office working, and one of my sons come in, and I'll admit to you, one of the ways that I can sort of drown out the noise of nine other people in the house with me is I'll put on my earphones, and I have all the music downloaded that we have as a family on my computer, just like it is on my cell phone, and I'll just click on the playlist, and I'll just let some good wholesome music just sort of put a little background. That works for me. I don't hear all that's going on outside the room. Well, sometimes I do, but. So a son come in, and he was in the room for a little bit, moving around, doing stuff, back out, back in, back out, back in, back out. And, well, it's not real uncommon. It's not like my door is locked or anything. Back in. After a little bit, he comes in with his mother. And his mother says, now, your son wants to talk with you. Oh, sure. And so we had a talk, and it was important. And later that evening, my wife and I talked about what he had talked to me about. We made a decision about his question, and he found out from her that the decision was made, but that he needed to come talk to me again. And so back in, back out, back in. And suddenly I realized that we should talk, and so we did. The point of that story was just not to bring up really anything about our home, but just the fact that we can just put on the blinders and just go. And I realized that I wasn't very awake, and that we need to be awake to those opportunities, those times, to hear, to talk, to take care of. Did I have important work to do? Sure. I needed to stand here this morning. Are we alert to the bad situations, to bad situations for our children? Are we guarding them physically, emotionally, and morally? I think it matters so much today. Just a sad story in the news yesterday. I don't know if some of you saw it. I don't need to recount it. But parents not guarding, not understanding their role as a father, their place guarding the home and the children. And our society is awash with children who don't have the fatherly protection, direction in their lives, and the high price is being paid in our society. Just the broken children, physically, emotionally, and morally. When our children see how being awake to them is costing us, they know something that nice words and nice gifts can never communicate. They know that Dad cares about me. And may God help us in that work. The next one that I have here. As fathers, we are to be thankful. As I thought about this being thankful, my mind went to John 17, where Jesus, we call it the high priestly prayer, but he was giving thanks to God, and he was talking to God, his Father, about the relationship between him and God, the Father, between him and the ones who God had given to us, the sons and daughters of God, and those, and he was thanking God for those opportunities. And so, fathers, we too are to be a thankful people. I want us to think a little bit this morning about what's in our heart for our children. What's in our heart for our children? When's the last time we thanked God for our children? So many times we pray the prayer of, oh, God, help us. And we need it, no doubt. But how many times... And when's the last time that we've thanked God for the children he's given us, for the healthy children, for this opportunity of children and all of that? Are we thankful? Now, I know we all have those moments when Johnny spills the milk again, or that child is always making us wait, and that is not right, and it's not right. Doesn't mean it destroys everything about the child, though. The first thing that comes out of us naturally, though, I think, is what I'm bringing out. The first thing that comes out of us naturally, however, is not thanksgiving. It's something else. So many times. And I think we just need to be called this morning, waking up to the fact of being thankful for what God's given us. Do our children hear us pray for them in such a way that they are convinced that we are thankful to have them in our lives? They're not rugrats. They're not even rascals. Well, maybe they can feel that way. But there are children, and I'm not going to start dividing between kids and children. Personally, I call my children children. I don't know that you can build a case real strong either way, but whatever we do, they must understand who they are, and we must be thankful for them to God. Our society has, I think one of the reasons why we need to talk about this is because so much of our society has done. It seems like there is a lot of love for animals and pets. Children are somewhere in there, maybe first rung or second rung. It's just a little hard to tell. And the expectations upon a child are very high often. Anyway, do we thank God for the complications that children bring into our lives? Do we thank God for the children He's given us even when the orthodontist bill seems out of reach? Jesus did thank the Father for the children that were given to Him, the sons and daughters, and He had to pay the ultimate price for those children. He did thank the Father. And I wonder, what does it still cost Jesus to this day? Bible Scripture tells us that He is on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. I think a heart of thankfulness will go such a long way in making the sacrifice bearable. But even further, it would help us to embrace the sacrifice that children do bring into our lives if we're thankful. We're thankful for what God's given us. For H, the word that came to my mind was humble. When was the last time and I, as I think about God our Father, God did bring Himself down to man. He brought Himself down in the form of a person, restrained Himself to a bodily form that's about like mine. That's what God did. Humble, a father in His work in being humble. When's the last time you or I ask our children for some forgiveness for some failure on our part? I hope you can remember it, because if you cannot, well, maybe you're more perfect than any of us know. But more than likely, you've needed to ask for some forgiveness. I have. Sure, fathers are called to do many things, called to be many things. Authority is one of them, to be an authority. We do call the shots, and we direct the ship like only a father can do. You know, hey, well, what does dad want? What does dad think? And so we either direct or are called upon to direct many times. And that's right. But underneath all of it must be a heart of humility, a sense of calling that humbles us. That's what it is. It's a sense of calling that humbles us. And we realize that the call upon us is greater than we can fulfill. And because we're coming up short, there is opportunity for us to say to our little ones, I am sorry. And probably one of the best meals you'll have is after you get done with the blessing on the meal, you say, now, children, I have something I want to say. I'm sorry about. And it does something for that relationship. Accounting for the fact that we as dads are an example of our Father in heaven is one of the reasons, one of the ways that we are brought to our knees as fathers and we consider our weaknesses, we recognize where we fall short, and we say, I'm sorry. And we say, forgive me to our little ones, and we say, forgive me to our big ones. Humbleness and meekness are not weakness. It's simply power under restraint. That's what it is. It's not weakness. It's power under restraint, authority under restraint. A humble spirit will pull our children into our hearts. They'll pull our children into our will for them rather than encouraging them to steamroll over us. It's a lie to believe that if we show that kind of weakness in asking for forgiveness, that somehow we'll lose the respect of our children. Does anyone believe that? Sometimes we act like it, but it's not true, and we know it. And so a humble spirit will pull our children into our hearts, into their hearts, together, and will pull them into our will for them and our wish for their lives, rather than encouraging them to steamroll over us and leave us behind in the dust. Even-handed is the next word that I thought of as I came to E. It's sort of the same word as consistent, but it's an even hand. It's somebody who sort of just smooths it out. And my mind went to Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's just one verse that talks about the stability of God, how he doesn't change. Our Father in heaven does not change. He is not a fickle personage. Because our Father in heaven is not easily moved, we're not consumed, out of time, out of place, judged harshly, rashly, before our time. God in heaven restrains himself. And so our children need to see an even-handedness and consistency coming from us. They need to see that. They need to sort of know where dad's at today, where he's going to be tomorrow, and they've got this track record. That's just sort of the way it is. Yeah, I mean, you might as well not even ask dad. That's not going to fly. Or, yeah, dad probably will do that. He's done it before. Doesn't always need to be in the negative. You know? Our children need to see us dealing fairly with them. Our children need to see us not unduly moved by the storms of life. As our children get a little older, and some earlier than others, they begin to perceive the pressure that goes on around adult life. And maybe you can remember that as a child. I think it was something that I was tuned into fairly early. And so you begin to see how your parents interact, how they relate to situations, how they react to others. And so when the health difficulties sweep into your home, our children need to see patience and our source of strength, and not panic and fear and frustration, and just even-handedness, calm. An ability to deal with. I know there's a lot of different personalities, and we're talking somewhat about personalities here. But we're talking about the kind of thing that gets leveled out by the grace of God. The kind of thing that realizes that our Heavenly Father is one, that is providing for us stability, that is providing for us an understanding of His will. And so we in turn are called upon as fathers to do the same for our little ones who are growing up in our homes. It's a high calling. When the financial storm becomes intense, by the grace of God, dad stands in faith. And so he stands. And he faces that pressure, those uncertainties. And our children see that. I think it's one of the greatest blessings that we can give the children. Sometimes when I view society and you see some of the just the temper tantrums and the anger and the blow-ups of adults, and their little ones are there in the mix, and you just wonder, how does it work when other people aren't looking on? And number two, how do the children grow up and know how to cope with life? And many times they don't. Most of all, our children need to see us applying the same truth and discipline to ourselves and to them tomorrow as they seen today and as they experienced yesterday and the past year. They need to see that consistency. That brings stable homes. It brings a peace in a home that you just know if it's there and you know if it's not. And God help us with that. This kind of stability gives a solid foundation for our children to sail out from the home, from dad's, and move on into their own responsibilities in life as God calls them into that. And this morning, this world is not becoming any smoother sailing out there. It's not. And so God help us with being even-handed. The last one. Oh, I better. I kept spelling this wrong. At least the spell checker told me I was. And I don't even know what I changed, and it quit giving me the pop-up there. But resourceful. Actually, I'm sorry. I have one more. I have an S on the end. So we can't skip the S. We'll get to that in just a moment. But resourceful. Resourceful. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. That's the promise of our Heavenly Father. By his divine power hath given us all things. Now for us fathers, we are a little different. We have our limitations. We have our limitations. Not one of us dads here are able to fix everything. Now, some of you can come closer to that than others, but we really aren't able to be as resourceful as our Heavenly Father. He has divine power and has given us all things. But as dads this morning, we have a call upon us to be resourceful. I don't know what it's like for you, but for me, it's easy to say, I don't know. I've never tried to do that before. Never tried to figure that out. Maybe we'll have to ask someone else to help us with that. That's okay. But I'm asking myself and us the question, are we willing to engage to fix the little problems in our child's life? Are we willing to do that? As we do so, we're setting up a pattern to help fix the big problems in our child's life as well. And so many times it's a choice to engage. Many times it's a choice to lay down whatever we're doing. We hide behind the I don't know. I know that I do. I'd have to look at that some other time. It sort of goes by. I've seen some of you men respond in ways that I'd like to be able to respond and try to learn to respond. Because in the end, I have been amazed at how much I can do when I put my mind to it. See, if you really want to, I guarantee if it'd make you $2,000 before the end of the day, you just might figure it out, wouldn't you? See what happens? And so our priorities make a difference. Are we unwilling to engage to fix the little problems? So it's not so much in my abilities, it's simply in understanding, accepting this responsibility and finding a way to fulfill it. I need to solve this problem. It's a problem. It's a big problem for somebody. It is. And so why does that chain keep coming off of his bike? So we need to figure it out. We have to look at it, say, oh, this bent. And we're going to have to get a part, which means that's another one of those to-do list things, which means we're going to have to stop by. We're going to have to call the place first of all. What's the phone number? See if they have the part. And then we're going to have to get by there and pick it up. Or we're going to have to take the bike and drop it off and then go back and pick it up. You see what I'm saying? It's a lot of details. And we just don't want to do it. And so there it goes. Am I stepping on any toes at all? I don't know. There it goes. And a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And finally, your wife says, now, you need to fix that problem. Oh, you're right, I do. Oh, we need our wives. But God help us. We're called to be a resource for our Heavenly Father is. Our greatest call as a father is to be a resource of truth and right in our children's lives. And so they ask the question, Dad, how does this work? Dad, why does that do that for him? I don't know that we have to have all the answers, but we need to be a resource that our children can learn to trust and seek out. So God help us. I added the S. I thought maybe I could come up with a better word, and I decided maybe I just didn't like that one. And I thought, well, really, the whole message was about being a servant. I guess we could have put showpiece. Our home is to be a showpiece. No, just a servant. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That's what God did through Jesus Christ. And as our Heavenly Father, as the one who we reach out to as our Heavenly Father, it's right there. It's on us. We can't get away from it. We're called to be a servant. But fatherhood, really, I think, is wrapped up in one word. And servant seems to be a good one. That's why fatherhood is something that we must put effort and conscious effort into it. Being a servant is not a natural response of a human. We want to be served. What are you kidding me? Yeah, we say it in lots of little ways. And we've been blessed as others serve us, but we are called to serve. As I was thinking about the role of a father, I began to think about, well, look at the animal kingdom. And then I thought of this little saying that we use from time to time. We talk about working our tails off. Well, we don't even have tails. What are we talking about? Well, more than likely, we're talking about the animal kingdom, right? That's right. You ever notice how hard the animal kingdom works? I want to tell you something. There's a lot of daddies right now, and mommies that are pretty well just worked out because they have sprung up a little brood of birds or foxes or whatever, and they are working their tails off to feed those little guys, to teach them some lessons. And by this fall, they're going to be out on their own or earlier. I mean, you talk about condensing fatherhood, the responsibilities of parenthood into like 2 or 3 months. You're seeing it. And for the most part, it's working. And so we can learn something from them. You know what? All they do is just work, and they serve, and they feed, and they go, and they go, and they go, until they've lost some weight. They've gotten skinny. Their coat lost their shine. Not a lot of time for preening when you've got a whole nest. At least God gives us one or two at a time at the most. I'm about to have 8 little birds squawking at you tomorrow morning. Well, yeah, there is that many at our house. And so we draw back. probably the hardest I've worked and sweated has been to do something for the family that hasn't produced actual dollar bills, to be honest with you. Now, maybe that says something about, you know, what's it, a sedentary lifestyle or whatever, not being as physical as some of you all are, but and that's okay. That we work that hard to do something to make family life work. And so we draw back. So what's, why not wash some dishes? Why not make a breakfast? But I think probably what sort of sums up this point is that, is this reality, that parenting and being a father will age us. I can testify to it. It will tire us out, and it'll send us to bed exhausted. Yep, it's going to happen. And that's all right. It's part of being a parent. And we do it for at least, in my little notes here, I wrote that we do it for at least two reasons, and then I wrote four. So bear with me. We have a perfect example of service for you and I. That's one of the reasons we do it. We're going to start there. We already made that point. We do it because it's commanded of us. We serve our children because God has called us to that as well. Secondly, thirdly, we do it because these children are ours. You know, they're God's. I know they're God's, but they're ours. They are our responsibility and no one else's. And so we do it because of that. And we do it because we receive the blessings of love and family. That's why we do it. There could be more reasons, but those are at least some of the reasons why we serve and we give ourselves. Any fathers feeling like they're coming up short? This one does. And God knows it too, because he said in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come what? Short. Have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so I trust this morning, this message is to call us forwards, to put our hands to the plow again for this year, for 2016, and not look back, pressing forward in this work, because this calling is upon us. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we just fall down here before you again. And even I've used those words without thinking about them. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your love and your mercy to us. Thank you that you are a father unto us. And we become your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Oh God, we thank you for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for the propitiation, as we studied this morning, this washing away and cleansing of the sins from our lives through Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it. Lord, as we think about this responsibility as Christian fathers in particular, I just pray that you would help us. Forgive us, O God, where we have failed. And Lord, you know our weaknesses. You know our tendencies. And so I pray that you would fill in for where we just don't make it, or we do continue to fall short. And I pray that you would also help us by the grace of God. And as we view our lives and as we allow others to speak into our lives, that we would become better fathers in this next year. I thank you for our children. I thank you for these little ones that you've given us, these eternal souls that you've entrusted into our care. And I pray, oh God, that we would be faithful in this responsibility. I pray that there would be little ones that would rise up to serve you in your kingdom, and that none would be lost. And so we just give this to you. Bless us as we go from this place. We pray for strong and stable homes. We pray for homes where God is honored, where the Bible is read, where singing is heard, and a place where children can be nurtured up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And so we just give this all to you. We ask it in Jesus' name.